Welcome to our Sunday morning worship service here at Marvin Methodist Church in downtown Tyler, Texas. My name is Doug Baker, and I'm the lead pastor. Today we begin a new sermon series entitled The Invitations of Jesus. Together we'll be exploring eight invitational passages from our Lord. I look forward to sharing with you in this transformational series. Let's join in as we pray for God to do a good work in us through His Holy Word.
The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 p.m. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which translated is Peter. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Well, before we get started today, a special welcome and welcome home to Robert and Roberta Adair, the son and daughter-in-law of Joanne and Butch Adair. Butch, of course, is running our TV ministry, but these are our missionaries' friends to Japan, and we welcome you home, and we thank you for your service. We pray that your time of leave here will be restful, and we're so glad to see the children are with you as well. I know Joanne and Butch are very pleased to see the grandchildren here as well. Friends, will you join me in prayer? Holy Spirit, do a good work. As your word is now proclaimed, show us the wealth of glory that lies beneath the old familiar stories. Teach us the depths of truth that you have for us today. Lift us to the summit of faith discovered by the apostles and open our eyes that we may behold the wondrous things of your word. We love you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Do a good work, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, friends, in November of 1934, revivalist Mordecai Ham preached a revival, a crusade, if you will, that lasted several days in Charlotte, North Carolina. Now, there was a family, that was the Frank Graham family, that decided not to attend the revival meetings. Their busy life involved around running a dairy farm, and they just didn't have time. They were actively involved in their Presbyterian church there in the community. But it was Albert McMacken, who was a tenant farmer for Frank Graham, who went to his son Billy, who was at that age 16, and offered him an opportunity to go and see this great revivalist. He even sweetened the deal. He said, "If you'll take my pickup truck, you can take as many kids as you can load up in that. Go hear Mordecai Ham." Billy Graham did attend those revival meetings. And friends, it was during those revival meetings that Billy Graham gave his heart to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Could Albert McMacken have known the impact of the invitation to go and see this great revivalist? And would Mordecai Ham, having said his name, would have known the impact of preaching the gospel and what that would have on the world today? Billy Graham, as you know, Dr. Billy Graham, went on to become one of the greatest evangelists of the last century. He preached to millions of people the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and saw many make a response, myself included. Now, I became a Christian at age 15. That is when I gave my heart and soul to Christ. But at age 17, it was in November of 1981, my youth group went to go hear Dr. Billy Graham preach a crusade at Rice University, where 18,000 people were gathering a night to hear the gospel proclaimed. And it was there that I went down upon the field at the invitation, and I rededicated my heart to Christ. It wasn't my conversion, but it was another step of significance in my faith journey. I felt I needed to respond to the gospel of this man's message, and I again pledged my life again to Jesus Christ. Friends, I share that story today to remind you of the power of the invitation, the power of the crusade, the power of the mission trip, the power of the worship service, the power of the Bible study, the power of the gathering of Christians where the Word of God is proclaimed, because you never know what God will do and show up in the changing of lives. Today, we begin a new sermon series on the invitations of Jesus, and we will be focusing on the words, come and see, or from the scripture, come and you will see that Jesus extended to both Andrew, and we believe the other person was the Apostle John. He's unnamed in the story, but he is the writer of the gospel. A moment ago, I spoke of the invitation of Albert McMacken, prompting this teenager to make a response, and how the world would never be the same because of the trajectory of Dr. Billy Graham's life. But friends, could Andrew and John had known what going to be with John the Baptist would eventually lead them to? They would become apostles. They would become disciples of Jesus Christ. But it all began with an invitation that John the Baptist was giving out there along the Jordan River as he was calling people to repentance in preparation of the coming of a Messiah, the Christ. And so we find, if I was to go back and read the previous verses to where I picked up the scripture lesson today, we would hear the story of John the Baptist arriving on the scene at the Jordan River. And there he has two disciples, we believe to be Andrew and John, and maybe there were others. And they're preaching about repenting, getting ready for one who is coming that is greater, the Christ is being anticipated. And John believed to be the forerunner of that Christ. Well, in previous passages, in chapter 1 of John, we will see, specifically, we find the words, Jesus comes out of the street or wherever the path, whatever he is on, and John recognizes him as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That's the first recognition of who this Jesus is. But then, as you know the story, John the Baptist baptizes Jesus, and as he baptizes him, there is a spirit like a dove that overhangs over Jesus, and the voice of the Lord speaks in that moment. John hears this, and we find John proclaiming also that he is there to, that this is God's Son, the Messiah, whom we have been testifying about. And then the following day, when Jesus passes by now a third time, he says, behold, the Lamb of God. Now that verse proceeds right where I picked up the scripture lesson. And as Jesus passes by, Andrew and John excuse themselves, if you will, or maybe better yet, are blessed to be sent by John, who says, not come and see, but go and see. This one who I believe is the Messiah. Go and see for yourself this one who is, well, God's chosen one. Now, Andrew and John were not probably rabbi material, and they probably were not disciples of rabbi material. They would have grown up in a community where they would have gone to school at age 5, where it was called the Beth Sefer, the house of the book. That was a little building built onto the side of the synagogue where all the children of the community would gather, and they would begin to learn to read the scriptures. And there, by the age of 5, they begin their tablets of writing, and they begin to memorize the scriptures so that by age 12, they will have memorized the whole Pentateuch, the first 5 books of the Bible. Now, at that point, at age 12, after they've been in 7 years of study, those who had shown some exceptions, some intellect, some promise, were invited to move on to a second level of education in the community called the Midrash. Others, and we would assume John and Andrew, probably would have been sent home at age 12 to say, go find your families and eventually start your families and learn a trade. And they had learned to be fishermen. But those who had gone on to the house of learning, the Midrash, would continue their studies so that at age 17, they will have memorized the entire Old Testament. Impressive to our students here today. That is what was forming their lives and their education, how they were learning to communicate and to read and all of those things. But only the best of the best, only those who showed great promise and strong intellect and a passion for God's word would have been sent on to find a rabbi to attach themselves. And in order to do that, they would have had to beg that rabbi to give them an audience to where they could ask questions and be asked questions. And if they passed that test, then they could be allowed to follow the rabbi as a disciple of the rabbi. Friends, this is the protocol of Andrew and John and the people of the biblical times. But these individuals have sensed that God was on the move. They had stepped out of their fishing careers, either part-time or full-time, we don't know, had latched themselves onto John the Baptist. But when John proclaims, this is the one to be the Messiah, this is the one I saw the dove land on, this is the Christ that you need to follow, that when he comes, he graciously releases them to go and see for themselves. Now, the beautiful thing about our story is God moves along the social lines of invitations of coming to see the God who is being extended, the testimonies and the invitations. And then as they're following Jesus, Jesus turns towards them. Jesus will always turn towards those that follow him. By your presence here today, as you come as a worshiper of Christ, to claim that you are here to worship the living God through the singing of song, through the hearing of word, Jesus, friends, has already turned his hearts to us to teach us today. And John Eldridge, in his book, Experience Jesus, really shares a beautiful illustration. He says, imagine, if you will, that you're inside your home, and maybe it's your small children, or maybe your grandchildren are outside having some free play, and all of a sudden there's a loud crash, and there's a scream, and there's crying, and out of that comes a voice, either mom or dad or grandma or grandpa, and immediately the heart is fully engaged and completely turned in the direction of the door to get outside as fast as you can to help that small child. Eldridge says, our heart turns and the body follows. I love that thought about the turning of the heart before the body follows. Have you experienced that? I think Jesus experienced that. He notes that two followers of John the Baptist are walking behind him, and his heart is turning towards them before his body turns and looks at them. And I think the same could be said when Jesus was in ministry and Zacchaeus was in a tree and he was walking by and there were crowds of people around him, but his heart turned to Zacchaeus even before he said to him, Zacchaeus, you got to come down from that tree. Let's go share in a meal together today. Or the woman who grabbed the hem of his garment. I think when Jesus felt the power of healing leave his body, his heart was immediately turned to whoever needed that healing, even before he asked, who touched me? Or even before he said to the woman, your faith has made you well. There is the turning before there is the body that follows. St. Augustine said, we could not even begin to seek God unless God has already turned toward us. And in Methodist circles, we call that prevenient grace. God's grace is wooing us. God's grace is engaging us. God is placing people in our lives, and the conversations are happening, and invitations are happening before we finally come to the conclusion that we need to respond. Friends, as you worship today, Jesus is turning to you today to offer you some encouragement, some truth, some hope that you might need today. But back to our scripture lesson, Jesus' heart turns towards Andrew and John, and he asks them a great question as a gentleman would. What is it that you want? What is it that you want? And let me just stop right there for a second. I think it's a great question for each of us here today. What is it that you want? Why are you here today? What are you seeking today as you come to Marvin Church to worship God? What is it that God can do for you? What is it that you want to bring to God? What is it that you are seeking? Notice that the two respond, Rabbi, meaning teacher. Remembering the protocol that I mentioned just a moment ago, this is an out of an extraordinary conversation that these two are following a rabbi, skipping all the protocol, skipping all of that vetting out that would have been happening in the community. These two fishermen find themselves face to face with Jesus Christ, our Lord. They ask the question, where are you staying? Not to get necessarily a physical address. They want to know, where will he be stopping? Where will he be teaching? We want to come and sit at your feet. We want to learn what you have to share, because our person that we were following, anticipating the Messiah, has says, you're the man, and we want to come and sit and listen to what you have to say. Jesus' words so beautifully summarizing today, this come and you will see. And we're not given how much time they had with him. Friends, that we could speculate that maybe they had 6 hours of conversation. This is the days before there were no crowds. There were no great masses of people. There were no great feedings on the hillside. There were not all these things happening with people being brought back to life and Jesus having a huge reputation. This is two early on disciples sitting with the rabbi, and they're there till 4 p.m. I think the timestamp there is a good nod that this is John, the apostle, the writer of the gospel, giving us the exact time that the conversation began to wind down. But at the end of it, we see that Andrew is so convinced that Jesus is who he says he is, that he goes and tells his brother Peter immediately, we have found the Christ. We have found the Christ. Let me bring you to him. Personal invitations along social lines, such an integral part of the beginning of the gospel and the forming of the disciples of Jesus, because it would be Peter and Andrew and John and then Philip and Nathaniel the next day, and the building of the band of disciples begins to fill out. But friends, because Jesus has said, come and see, we are invited to worship, to class meetings, to programs in the church, all for the encounter of coming to see Christ. Now, I'd be honest with you, this week's been a kind of a hard week. Just a lot of stuff happening, and everything from Mike Dent's funeral on Friday, just an emotional, pastor who served this church 10 years. Many of the people that were there were people who had left after disaffiliation, but just going, and it was a true celebration, great relationships, but it was just a lot of emotion around that. But I also want to celebrate with you that, or to just share with you that there was just a lot of other things happening this week. Had a relationship with a friend that got a little sour for a few days, had to work that out. Also had lots of deaths, as you heard Brandy announce, and these were deaths that were people that went through life issues where they had to take persons off of life support, which hit very close to me because a friend of mine had to take her father off life support this week in a manner which was very similar to how my dad was taken off life support many years ago. So my heart was wrenched this week with all of these things that were happening in a week. You maybe have had weeks like that as well. Well, I was drawn to John Eldridge's book, Get Your Life Back. I read the last two chapters over and over again because there is a testimony from a friend in chapter 13 or 14, and let me read it to you. He says, John, I think that most people are slowly losing the war of attrition. I realize I used to be funnier. I used to have a great sense of humor. I started thinking about, I'm just not enjoying my life like I once did. The withering effects of our frenzied culture and the narrowing of my mind and soul by technology. My heart is continually broken by the world delivered to my smartphone. There is no time for my own disappointments, my own losses, my own griefs, much less cultivating precious hopes and dreams. All that is pushed aside as evil keeps raging and the disruption keeps astir. The light is fading from my eyes and my life is reduced to just getting by. Well, friends, that's kind of where I found myself. Because every message that I was getting on my cell phone for the last end of the week was about another death, about another person like Nick Scholers, our district superintendent, our area presiding elder, having to have bypass surgery yesterday. Just another crisis that needed to be tended to. I was tired. But Eldridge's counsel, more of God, union with Jesus, that is the greatest need, our greatest joy, our greatest rescue. So that was what ministered to me. I needed more of God. I needed more of Jesus. I needed Jesus to say, come and see. Come sit in my presence. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Come and just be with me as Andrew and John and eventually Peter were able to just be in Jesus' presence. I come back to this question, where are you staying? And I just wonder, when Jesus heard them ask the question, where are you staying? Did Jesus pause for just a moment? You know, here's one who had come down from heaven, emptying himself, living in obscurity for 30 years as a carpenter in Nazareth, and now he's beginning to come into his own to be the rabbi, to fulfill the mission, to be the Christ that God has called him to be. But he knows that when he dies and when he is resurrected, he will go and be with God again in heaven. And so where am I staying, Jesus asked. Well, I think Jesus could think about that. For now, I'm staying maybe down the street here, and I'll be there to share, and you're welcome to join me. But maybe, just maybe, he's thinking, where will I stay? I will be staying in your heart. Now, where did I get that from? The Greek word of staying is the same word that Jesus uses in John 15. If you stay in me and I stay in you, you will bear much fruit. If you live in me as I live in you, John 15, you will bear much fruit. So abide in me as I abide in you. Where are you abiding? Jesus says, well, really, my ministry, I will not have a place to lie my head, but eventually, I'll just be right here. Friends, that's the message I needed this week, and maybe it's a message you need as well today. Jesus is closer than you think. Now, whatever you might be going through right now, however hard a week you might be having this week, Jesus says, come stay with me. Come be with me. Abide in me. And I will abide in you. Come and see. So friends, come and see. What a great invitation. We're all discerning right now which class we're going to be in this week. I know we have Sunday school classes. We have worship activities. Some of us have Bible studies. We're involved in the community. But which classes at Marvin am I going to be involved in? I want to invite you to think about, as we go through the classes, this invitation to come and see Jesus, whether it's catechism, the walk, experiencing God, what does Wesley say about it, hidden, life to life, or be like Jesus, whatever the class, where will you find your fullness in Jesus Christ? Where will your cup be filled so that you can grow like I was at age 15, grow as a disciple and make a new commitment at age 17. Where will you be like Billy Graham, who was raised in the Presbyterian church, but yet really had that conviction moment of giving his heart to Christ as he listened to a wonderful Mordecai Ham preach a revival? There's something waiting for you to come and see. Now, what makes a great team? A couple of weeks ago, Justin, our intern for the summer, talked about a winning team makes disciples for Jesus Christ. I'd say a winning team has a great coach. I wouldn't say that I'm a great coach, but I would say this. A coach has to do three things for his team to really do great and to win games on the playing field, first of all, the coach has got to motivate his players. Second of all, coach has got to give the players the resources they need so that they can do the work of making disciples or playing football. And then he's got to practice them and give them game-like opportunities so that they can get out into the world and make a difference. You hear what I'm saying? I want to share with you that Life to Life and all of these classes are designed in such a way to motivate you, to educate you, to train you, to help you to get out into the world, to grow disciples, to share the love and hope of Christ, because that is our mission. And the world, if a pastor can have a crappy week, sorry, Gina, I said the word. Forgive me, Lord. I know that you all have weeks like that as well. And I just want to share with you that a response to that kind of week is more Jesus. More Jesus. That's my prescription for you today. Through this message, through the classes, let's get motivated around Jesus. Let's bring people like Andrew, like John the Baptist. Let's bring people to Jesus, because Jesus can cure their broken hearts. Jesus said, come and see. Come and see for yourself. That's our invitation today. Come join us here at Marvin Church in all of our studies and all of our worship opportunities, whether you're young or whether you're old. Come and see the goodness of the Lord. Amen.
Thank you for watching our broadcast this morning. In the spirit of the one who invites us to experience life with God, I want to personally invite you to join us for Sunday morning services here at Marvin Methodist Church. Our church is located at 300 West Irwin Street, one block west of the town square. Please visit our website to learn more about our church or text NEW, N-E-W, to 90382 to receive a personal response from our church. If you'd like to make a financial contribution to the church, please use the QR code on the screen for online giving or send a gift to the church at 300 West Irwin Street, Tyler, Texas, 75702. Thanks again for joining us. May the peace of Christ be yours.